here. I've actually spent the last month or year or more thinking about questions on weighted orbital integrals, questions I would be rather hard-pressed to relate to the theme of this workshop. That's my excuse for giving a speculative lecture, which indeed is what this is. I would like to describe, just say a little bit about what you could call the universal groups in automorphic forms, and subject I know a lot less about, algebraic geometry. If you wanted to sort of start with such things, you would say that the prototype for such groups is the Galois group. So F is a number field. And then, so I guess the sort of progenitor of all such groups would be Galois group. So we could take the absolute Galois group of F, of an algebraic closure of F, so in other words, an inverse limit of a finite Galois group. So this is, well, it's a compact group, a compact totally disconnected group. Well, by itself, it's not terribly striking, but I guess what one thinks of is that these finite groups, the finite Galois groups, come more than just the structure of a finite group. They come with a structure of a family of conjugacy classes within that group, parameterized by primes in the base field F. So the Galois group, any one of these finite groups, comes with a family of conjugacy classes, the Frobenius conjugacy classes attached to the Galois extension. Parameterized, there's one of them, a natural one of them, for almost every prime in the base field F. So if it's the rationals, then there's a family of conjugacy classes in the Galois group for almost every prime number P. Well, a slight variant of that was introduced by Vey, the Vey group. Okay, so this again is an inverse limit of Vey groups taken over finite extensions, finite Galois extensions, E over F. And this is a locally slightly different category. This is a slightly larger category. It's a locally compact group. And it comes naturally with a projection onto the Galois group. Okay, so the role of these groups is well known and well understood in classifying objects in number theory. In automorphic forms, about a little over 20 years ago, 25 years ago, Langlands introduced a conjectural group, which has since been called the Langlands group. L of F. And actually, according to a suggestion of Kottwitz, it's best regarded as actually a locally compact group in the same spirit as the Vay group. Well, this is not known to exist. This is a hypothetical. Locally compact group. And it comes, conjecturally, with a projection onto the previous one, onto the Vay group. And its role, conjecturally, would be to classify, in some sense, classify all automorphic representations. As introduced by Langlands, it was to be the expansion or the extension of the Vay group such that all automorphic representations, say in the case of GLN, would be parameterized by homomorphisms of this larger group into the complex dual general linear group. The original Langlands conjecture that came with functoriality was that you could get some automorphic representations, say, of GLN, by looking at homomorphisms of the Galois group or the Vay group into GLN. And then he conjectured, or suggested, let's say, that there ought to be a larger group such that you could get all automorphic representations of GLN by homomorphisms of that group into the complex group. And finally, there is a group that it would be nice, it's too bad it isn't, it would be nice if it were called the Grothendieck group. Unfortunately, there's another group that's called the Grothendieck group. This is known, generally known as the motivic Galois group. And it is, it's a hypothetical algebraic, or actually pro-algebraic group over Q that is thought to classify all motive objects that Grothendieck introduced in some sense to try to classify the various kinds of arithmetic varieties from algebraic geometry. All right, so all of these groups, these are sort of exist for a number field, but they all have local analogs. So, for example, we know that there's a local Galois group for any prime in F, which embeds up to conjugacy in the global Galois group. There's a local Vay group, similarly, that maps into the local Galois group and embeds up to conjugacy in the global Vay group. And there is a group for every V, which would be the local analog of the Langlands group, and conjecturally would embed up to conjugacy in the hypothetical global Langlands group. So this group is only hypothetical. These groups all exist. Although this group, to show that it has the kind of properties you want, would require generalizing what Harris and Taylor and Enyar did for GLN to more general groups. But nevertheless, this group, we know what that should be. LFV is simply the local Vay group, if V is Archimedean, and it is the local Vay group cross an innocuous other group, the special unitary group, in two variables, if V is a p-adic, discrete valuation. So these are quite innocuous groups. Notice that the local Langlands group is an extension of the Vey group by a compact, simply connected group, namely the trivial group in the case of Archimedean valuations and SU2 in the case of p-adic valuation. So what I would like to do is to describe a candidate for this group. It's the simplest form that this group could take, I think, and barring any glaring errors I might have made, I'm sure that such thoughts will have occurred to other people as well. It must be part of the thinking of other mathematicians. But what I would like to do is to describe a candidate for this group that, like this local group, is an extension of the Vey group by a product of compact, simply connected groups. Compact, simply connected, and particular connected Lie groups. Not a split extension, however, the way the local Vey group is. Well, in order to do this, I have to recall very briefly the principle of functoriality. And let me do so in its simplest but perhaps most elegant form. So it applies to reductive algebraic groups over F. And we recall that if you have an automorphic representation of GA, that it comes with some rather nice explicit data, namely a family of semi-simple conjugacy classes in the dual group. So this comes with a family, C pi, let's say, consisting of a conjugacy class parameterized by almost every valuation V of F. So this is a family of semi-simple conjugacy classes in the L group of G. So remember, this is a semi-direct product of a complex connected group G hat, the dual group of G, with, we can take it, Vey form, with the Vey group, acting through its projection on the Galois group on a G hat in the way that comes from the theory of algebraic groups, acting in a way that preserves the splitting of this complex group. So this is very nice. If F is the rational, for example, then you have attached to what might seem, if one isn't used to Adels, or what might seem at first a fairly abstract object, you have a really quite concrete set of data, a family of conjugacy classes in a complex group parameterized by prime numbers. So let me write a C automorphic G for the family, for the set of such families of conjugacy classes obtained in this way. Well, why don't we say the set of equivalence classes of such families of conjugacy classes in a GL well, let's define them to be equivalent so that we don't single out a particular finite set of primes outside of which we're dealing with. Well, let's say that C prime, a family of conjugacy classes, C prime is equivalent to C if the corresponding conjugacy classes are equal for almost all V. Okay, and so, of course, you can build families of conjugacy classes in complex groups any way you want, but what to say that it comes from a family comes from an automorphic representation is a very rigid condition that ties these conjugacy classes in a given family in a very intricate and it's a way that perhaps is not completely understood, a way that is very important applications to arithmetic and algebraic geometry. All right, so then we can state in this sort of basic form, we can state the principle of functoriality. It's a conjecture of Langlands. Functoriality. Okay, so it doesn't calculate, of course, what the set of such conjugacy classes, these automorphic families, are going to be, but it says there are remarkable and extremely deep relations among the different such families. Namely, suppose that you have two groups, not just one, but you have two groups over F, and let's suppose that they're both quasi-split, like GLN or many of our other favorite matrix groups. And let's also suppose that rho is an L homomorphism between their dual groups. So L, the main condition for being an L, well, L homomorphism means it's analytic, but the main condition means it has to commute. With the projections onto WF. There's two projections onto the V group, and we would ask that that rho commute with these two projections. And then functoriality makes the following assertion. It says that if you have an automorphic family attached to G prime, then the image under rho of this family is an automorphic family for G. So rho of C, the rho of C prime, the set of rho of C V prime, this is for, okay, so that's defined only up to almost all V, and then this is lies in the family of the set of automorphic families attached to G. So it says that whatever intricate relations there might be that relate the given members of a family of conjugacy classes by insisting that the family be automorphic, these are preserved under this very simple operation, of which there are many, many examples, namely homomorphisms between dual groups. Well, one other thing I have to just recall, this is all sort of pretty basic, I just recall that you build L functions in the natural way out of such families. You need a third piece of data. You need a finite dimensional representation of the L group. So if you have a representation and you have an automorphic family attached to G, well, then you define the L function, the incomplete L function. So let's take a family F, a finite set of primes outside of which we can write down the conjugacy classes, and then L upper S of S, C, and R is just the Euler product, the V naught in S of the characteristic polynomials, basically, or the inverse of the characteristic polynomials of the corresponding conjugacy classes in GL and C. The determinant of 1 minus R of CV, and then the uniformizing element, which is a power of P, for some P, to the minus S to the minus 1. So then the one other thing, so this is the L function attached to an automorphic family of conjugacy classes. And then the one other thing we need to recall is that the functoriality, the principle of functoriality, implies that this L function, it's not known that this L function in general has analytic continuation and satisfies a functional equation, but if you had functoriality, you would have such an assertion. Functoriality implies that this L function, LSCR, has analytic continuation. So here, I'm sorry, S is, of course, S is a complex variable, and so this has analytic, I guess I should really say meromorphic, but in any case, has continuation in S to the whole complex plane, and functional equation. The reason being that you just take rho over there to be R up there, or rather the you take R to be the projection of rho. You take the second group to be GLN, and you take R to be the projection of rho onto the dual group, GLNC, and then you use the fact that the standard L function, namely where R is the identity representation, and the group is GLN, that that's known to have functional equation, analytic continuation and functional equation. And there you would thereby get it for any G and R by using that property for GLN. Okay, so we will assume this. We're assuming functoriality. Well, what I would like to do then is to describe a candidate for LS. Well, there's going to be two ingredients. One, I would like an indexing set. A set of indices. And then for every one of these indices, I would like an extension. An extension of the Bay group. So an extension of the Bay group, global Bay group, by a compact simply connected. Group KC. Okay, any such object, LC, this extension, is going to, of course, be a locally compact group, which projects onto the Bay group and, in turn, projects onto the Galois group. So let's see. So to get the to describe an indexing set, suppose that G over F is a quasi-split and simply connected. And simple. Quasi-split, simple, not absolutely simple, but simple and simply connected. It's over F. Okay, given such a group F, a G, let me write C primitive, a set of primitive families of automorphic conjugacy classes to be the set of automorphic families of conjugacy classes attached to G, with the property that for every object that defines an L function, namely every finite dimensional representation of the L group, that the corresponding L function has an order of pole at S equals 1 . So the order of the pole at S equals 1 of the corresponding L function is as small as it could possibly be, namely that it equals, it's always going to be at least as large as the multiplicity of the trivial one-dimensional representation in R. In general, it's going to be larger. There'll be more poles. Let me define C to be primitive if its order of pole is as small as it could possibly be, namely that it's equal to the multiplicity in R of the trivial representation of GL. So these somehow should be automorphic families of conjugacy class, automorphic families of conjugacy classes on G that are not functorial images of families from any smaller group G prime. I mean, this is this condition rules out families that are functorial images obtained from automorphic conjugacy classes on smaller groups, G prime. Okay, so this is sort of a smaller subset of this, and then let's just simply define CF to be the set of all possible pairs. Well, let's say the set of isomorphism classes of pairs. G and C, where G is as above. G is quasi-split, simply connected, and C is a primitive family of conjugacy classes, automorphic conjugacy classes. Yes.
This one, I don't understand about this anomorphic completion. Do you mean actual partial L function or some kind of component?
No, I'm just mean the partial L function.
So
the because the remaining components won't have any pole at s equals 1. It's this is a represent.
You don't know what the remaining components are.
No, we don't know what the remaining components are. This is just we're after all writing down a candidate. If the representation is tempered, which we certainly expect, because it's primitive. I mean, it doesn't come from any smaller group. Then we could certainly would expect that the other components would have no pole at s equals 1. So it's insensitive to the finite set S that you fix. All right. So now for every one of these indexes, we'd like to describe an extension of WF. So this is 2. Suppose that a G of C represents, so if you have an automorphism of G, then we would count the the image under C of C under an automorphism of G, we would count those to be the same family of conjugacy classes because of this. So, but in any case, suppose you have a pair that represents an element in this indexing set F. Okay, let me, G is simply connected. Let me take its adjoint group, and then let me take a V, what's known as a Z extension. I guess I should say a Z extension, if I'm in Toronto, Z extension. Z extension probably is universal. So let's take an extension of the adjoint group. This is the adjoint group of G. So by definition, this is an extension whose derived group is simply connected and whose kernel is a torus over F, which is a product of GL1s or base changes to larger fields of GL1s. In other words, a very simple kind of torus over F. Okay, then the derived group, then by definition, of G tilde is G itself. So G, the original group G, then, is the derived group of G tilde, which embeds into a G tilde. So the, I guess, the typical example that we can sort of always bear in mind is where the simply connected group G is SLN, and the adjoint group is DGLN, and then a G tilde is GLN. All right, so I want to make another hypothesis, but this is pretty not terribly serious. I want to make the hypothesis that, okay, so we have a group G. It embeds in a group G tilde, so we're kind of thinking of SLN sitting in GLN, and I have a family of conjugacy classes attached to an automorphic representation of G. So I want to assume that you can extend this family to an automorphic family of conjugacy classes on the larger group G tilde. So there's an automorphic family G tilde, C tilde, whose image in C aught of G. So there's a map, there's a dual map of L groups. This is contained in here. So under the dual map. This is from G tilde L into GL. I want this to be the original family C. That's, I think, pretty plausible. If you assume that C comes from a homomorphism of the Vey group into G, GL, in other words, we're assuming functoriality, so that would imply that a lot of families C do come from homomorphisms of the Vey group into the dual group. So if you assume that C is of that particular form, then it's known that this is true. There's a very general theorem of Lebesgue that shows that it's true. But it basically boils down to a certain cohomology group, that H2 of a complex a torus, that's an induced torus of this type, with respect to the action of a Galois group, is trivial. So there's a little cohomology class that vanishes and that tells you that the Vey group factors pulls back to a homomorphism into the dual group of G tilde. All right, so I'm trying to, given one of these indexing sets, I'm trying to construct an extension of the Vey group. So in order to do that, we've got this exact sequence here. Let me consider the dual exact sequence. So that the dual group of G add, it's not the dual group of G, it's the dual group, the dual group of G is adjoint, so the dual group of G add is the simply connected cover of the dual group of G. And that maps into G tilde hat, and that maps into Z hat. Okay, so we have a homomorphism there, epsilon hat, from the dual group of G hat into Z hat. Okay, well then we've agreed as a hypothesis that we, given C, that we have a family C tilde attached to G tilde, well the L group of G tilde. So the corresponding map of dual groups, epsilon hat C tilde, is then in fact going to be an automorphic family of conjugacy classes attached to the reductive group Z. In fact, just corresponds to the central character. Say the central character of C tilde, but really I mean an automorphic representation attached to C tilde. And so it gives, by the Langlands classification for tori, if you have an automorphic representation of a torus, well, we don't need anything that fancy. It comes from a homomorphism of the Vey group into the dual of that torus. Or in other words, it comes from a one cocycle, let's say ZC from the Vey group into Z hat. A homomorphism of the Vey group into the dual group of Z is the same as an element, a one cocycle from the Vey group into the connected, into the dual group of Z. All right. Well, we can use this actually. We're trying to construct an extension. I've rubbed it off, but let me write KC, let KC be a compact real form. All right, so we have a simply connected complex group here. Let me write KC for a compact real form of simply connected complex group G half, simply connected. And then let me write KC tilde for the normalizer. KC in a G tilde hat. Okay, so that's just a little bit larger. That's a, I have a compact real form of this group. So that's just the product of KC with a torus, a complex torus in there. All right, so so we have a subgroup of this group that's kind of like GLN that's basically a compact simply connected group, but also with a complex torus, central torus, tacked onto it. So let's just simply define LC to be the set of pairs G and W in KC tilde cross W. Okay, so this is in the L group of G tilde. And let me ask that epsilon hat of G, okay, so the image of G in Z hat, be the same as ZC of W. Sort of a natural way to build a little extension. Of this compact, simply connected group, given, well, basically from the central character attached to C tilde. Okay, so the kernel of epsilon hat is just KC, the compact real form of G hat simply connected. So, KC, any element of the form G, comma 1 will lie in LC, where if G lies in KC. So this gives an extension. One KC, LC, WF. Here I'm letting C represent the pair. Not quite correctly, but I'm letting it represent the pair G comma C. So C includes pair, which in turn represents an element in CF, in the indexing set. All right, so this is an extension of the Bay group by a compact, simply connected group. So if you look at GLN, SLN, and PGLN, this is kind of a natural thing that would arise. And it's, if you kind of investigate when an automorphic representation of, or even GL2, when an automorphic representation of PGL2 extends, say, to SL2, you come up with basically something exactly like this. So this actually comes with a little bit more structure. So let's assume the local Langlands conjecture as well. So we've been assuming functoriality up until now. Let's assume the local Langlands conjecture. Okay, C tilde, I mean, I'm not, you might say, well, C tilde is not unique. This group doesn't seem to be uniquely depend on C, but actually it's easy to check that it does uniquely depend on C. It doesn't depend on the choice of C tilde. And let me assume the local Langlands conjecture. Well, then C tilde, that's supposed to come, that's an automorphic family of conjugacy classes. It's supposed to come from an automorphic representation of G tilde. And as such, it will have local constituents. They're not reflected in the conjugacy classes in C tilde, but if C tilde comes from an automorphic representation, they will be local constituents. They, if we're assuming the local Langlands conjecture, they will give rise to homomorphisms of the local Langlands group into G tilde L. So this gives mappings. CV a tilde from the local Langlands group, if we're assuming the local Langlands conjecture, into the GL a tilde. And hence, you could equally well regard such a local parameter as a one cocycle from this group into the dual group. So elements CV a zero in H1 of LFV G tilde hat. All right, we're assuming functoriality. And it's known that if you have functoriality and you have the local Langlands conjecture, that you can parameterize local components of automorphic representations in this way, then it's known that that implies a Ramanujan's conjecture. Well, you might say that Ramanujan's conjecture is not known to hold, is known to be false in many cases, but that's certainly not to be expected for these primitive representations, these ones that are not functorial images of any smaller group. So that condition on the pole of the L function, in fact, using that, and there's a standard argument that says if you've got functoriality, that would in fact imply Ramanujan's conjecture, which would imply that the image, so a priori, C tilde only goes into the larger, the full L group of G tilde. And we have built a group out of basically a compact real form of G tilde hat. But Ramanujan's conjecture then tells us that that would imply that the image of CV a tilde zero, in fact, lies in this compact real form K C tilde. Well, since epsilon hat composed with tilde zero, so that's a one cocycle. That's an element in H1 of z hat. So that's a homomorphism of the local Galois group into corresponds to a homomorphism of the local local Langlands group into ZL. So that corresponds. I mean, that's where that cocycle ZVC came from. It corresponds to the V local component, to the V local component of ZC. So because of that, we have that if you just look at what that means, that tells you, in fact, that the image of V, V tilde, in fact, does lie in this extension, this subgroup. LC, after all, LC is a subgroup of the L group of G tilde. And this implies that then that the image of V tilde, in fact, lies in LC. So in other words, LC then comes with extra structure. It comes with family of conjugacy classes, of local embeddings, of local Langlands groups. LV into LC. Okay, so that one can make, I'm not going to propose to do it, but one can also make a plausible argument that you might well say that even C tilde, you know, there might be many automorphic representations attached to C tilde. C tilde, in turn, doesn't seem to be uniquely determined by C. But you can make a pretty plausible argument that given C, that this group, up to isomorphism, and in fact even those local homomorphisms of the local Langlands group into LC, that they're in fact, I mean, you can't prove it, you have to make some hypotheses, but it's a pretty plausible, to me anyway, argument that in fact that these local embeddings, in fact, are going to depend only on C. All right, so that's the data, the two families of data that we've constructed. And so now, given the data, one and two, let's just build a candidate for the full Langlands group as follows. Let's simply define LF to be the product of all of these groups, LC. Or rather, the fiber product of all of these groups over the Vey group. So this is the product, fiber product, over all indexes of these extensions, LV, of the Vey group. Okay, so that's an... Sorry. So that's an extension. That's going to be an extension of the Vey group by the product of all of these rather big and ungainly and a little bit self-referential too, because it's really built out. It's really just built out of the automorphic representations, but it's an extension of the Vey group by the product of all infinitely many simply connected compact groups, KC. Basically one for every sort of class of automorphic representations that are primitive attached to a simply connected group. So it comes with local embeddings, taking the fiber product of the local embeddings, we get comes with local embeddings L F of E into LF. So just perhaps a couple of remarks that I won't write down, but it is sometimes, people sometimes say, well, it's enough to, it's really, GLN's hard enough, or classical groups are hard enough, but it's probably the exceptional groups really would be icing on the cake, but why don't we just, probably just enough to, the real meat is in the automorphic representations of classical groups. Well, of course, that's not going to be enough. Even if you just want to study automorphic representations of GLN, many of them will be primitive objects attached to the exceptional groups. So they, of course, they're a very important part of the automorphic, I mean, they're going to be an essential part of the automorphic representations of GLN. Now, this doesn't, of course, even if you have functoriality, this doesn't prove that this has the right property. To say that that has the right property is more than functoriality. What it kind of says is it's almost like a little bit of a converse to functoriality. It sort of says that that any automorphic representation of a group is either primitive or it comes from a primitive automorphic representation of some unique, smaller group. And that is not implied by functoriality. That's saying something different than functoriality, and it suggests that maybe if you want to prove functoriality, you might have to prove this other question as well at the same time. And that, I think, even though it's highly speculative, Langland's approach to studying functoriality by analytic number theory, I mean, it's not clear that that's, even in principle, that that's going to work, but it at least is directed at both sides of the problem, both functoriality and this kind of converse aspect to it. Well, I've just got a few minutes left, a couple of minutes left. One can actually do the same thing with the same argument to write down a candidate, well, not for the rational form of the motivic Galois group, but candidate for it as a complex group. And I'll just, there again, so this is a group over Q. You embed F into the complex numbers and gives a complex form of this group, GF. And you can build a candidate for it basically the same way. You need a subset, CF, well, subset of this indexing set, CF0 of CF. And secondly, for every... So this subset would basically be the set of families of automorphic, primitive families of automorphic conjugacy, primitive automorphic families of conjugacy classes whose local Archimedean components are of type A naught. In other words, the composition of the local Archimedean parameter of the local VA group into GL, G's a simply connected simple group, composed with any finite dimensional representation of that group, that'll give a representation of the local VA, the finite dimensional representation of the local VA group, and you would ask that its restriction to C star be a Podge type, be a direct sum of characters Z to the minus P, Z bar to the minus Q. So that's a subset of these families. And then for every C in CF0, one can define an extension 1. So this is supposed to be an algebraic group. So you would define a little finite dimensional algebraic group, GC. Well, I guess it's actually not finite dimensional because of this group here. You could by basically the same kind of argument, an extension of the Taniyama group, or rather complexification of it, a complex Taniyama group, by complex. A complex, simply connected group DC. So it's exactly the same argument. Instead of having KC here, the compact real form of G tilde hat, you would take DC to be all of G simply connected tilde. And then the same construction, but with the Kanyama group, which is it's an extension of the Galois group by a pro-algebraic torus. In this case, we're taking it to be complex. But then the same construction actually will give you an extension, and then you would define the GF, the full group, simply as the fiber, pro-algebraic fiber product of all of these GFs. Thank you.